Good morning, church. You know, we're a part of that. We've got over 5,000 mission staff serving around the world that are dependent upon our support. And the International Mission Board this past year has had to begin pulling some of our mission staff home because they've run short of funds. This year's Christmas offering is especially important. I want to encourage you as a family to be intentional about giving generously. 100% of what we give at this Christmas offering goes to the mission staff to keep them where they are and to potentially send new staff there. I want to encourage you, don't wait until all of your Christmas spending is over to see what's left. Maybe you ought to decide on the front end to include God's work in your giving this Christmas. All right, I think if we all do that, we can make an enormous difference in helping spread the gospel around the world. Now, I hope you noticed this morning our praise team had on their new logo shirts. I told you last week we had the signs out front. And very grateful for Pastor Kevin and his work to get the rebrand done. And the new signage is up. And if you've not visited the website, it's all been redone. When you pull it up on your phone, you don't need a microscope to see it. It works on your phone. It's good. And if you would like one of these cool, hip, and trendy shirts or a coffee mug that looks like it, I'm told you can get those this morning out of the atrium. And the good news is, while we're all in here for worship, we've got a team out in the parking lot scraping your old bumper stickers off and putting... Okay, maybe not. But next week, the next couple of weeks, we'll have some of those available for you if you would like to put that on your vehicle, or we could help you. It's entirely up to you. Hey, listen, this morning we are going to be in Hebrews chapter 1. Let me invite you to turn there with me. You ever heard somebody say this? All religions lead to the same God? It sure would be a lot easier if that were true. But that's only plausible if you're looking at different beliefs from a long look. Because you don't have to get very close to realize there's some very contradictory beliefs. In our own faith, Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. That's pretty exclusive. Now, wouldn't it help if the Lord would just wade in and make this crystal clear? If God just spoke up and it would resolve all of this wrangling back and forth and different places in the world and different belief systems, wouldn't that be great if God would just speak? Guess what? He has. And we're going to look this morning at what God's message is to us. Now, the reality is, all of us have been created. There's a design feature in every person with an aching need for the Lord's presence in their life, to be rightly related with our Creator. And we go looking in different ways to satisfy that need, and all but the right answer will leave us wanting. You ever thought if God would just speak? Man, it would make everything better. You ever been desperate to hear the voice of the Lord in your life? Well, my friends, this morning, we're going to look at a passage that testifies, tells us about how God speaks to us. And it makes me think about that old Robin Williams movie, Dead Poets Society. Maybe you remember that, where Robin Williams is brought in as a teacher at a school for young men, a prep school. And he's got all the young men around this awards case, and he's inviting them to lean in and listen to the testimony of those men who had been students there previously. I think we've got a clip for you to watch.
Seize the day. Gather your roses while ye may.
What a great clip, you know? And in the same way that he was telling these young men, if you'll listen, if you pay attention, there's a message to be heard from these men who had gone before them. In the same way, we may say, man, I wish I could hear from the Lord. But perhaps the problem is not that God isn't speaking. In Acts 28, the Apostle Paul is testifying again in another trial. And listen to what he says. He says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. And you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull. And with their ears, they can barely hear. And with their eyes, they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart in turn. And I would heal them. You know, how many of you have a manger scene as part of your Christmas decorations? Maybe it's on a mantle. Maybe it's under your Christmas tree. You know, we watch the news media and there's fights in different communities around the country about the right to have those in public places. But when you see a manger scene, what does it say to you? Maybe it is a reminder that it's time for the family to come together. Maybe that's the message for you. Perhaps it is a portrayal of a historic event. And you look at that manger scene and you imagine what it must have been like back in the day. You know, the manger and Mary and Joseph and all that. Or maybe it's one in your home and what it really reminds you of is a younger version of your child and they made this as an art project. And maybe that manger scene says things to you. But my friends, this morning, I believe that God is speaking. And through that manger, he has something to say to us. I want us to read together out of Hebrews chapter 1. And I want us to listen carefully for the word of the Lord. Let's stand together. We're going to read Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 4. The scripture says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Let's pray together. Father, this morning I pray that we would have ears to hear, eyes to see and rightly perceive. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would speak to us and it would not be my voice that we hear, but it would be yours. God, that the message that goes forth from that manger scene would be a profound one, that as we drink deeply of its meaning, we receive it into our own lives, it would change everything for us. God, I pray that we would walk in the truth that you have confessed, professed to us through the arrival of Jesus. God, I pray this morning, whether it is for the first time or for many, many, many times, we stop and reconsider the message of Christmas, the message of the birth of Jesus, and all that is said to us. May we have ears to hear this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You can be seated. Well, as we look at this passage, I want you to remember this when you walk in your home this afternoon or you're driving down the road and you see a manger scene. I want you to remember that manger scene has something to say if we will just listen, right? That manger scene says what he says here, verse 1 and 2. He says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. What is he saying? First of all, he's saying that God wants to talk to you. He wants to communicate with you, and the way he used to do it was through prophets, through human ambassadors, but now he speaks to us through his Son. So in those two phases, there is before the Son and through the Son. Yesterday, Rachel and I had to make a trip down to Ocala, and we were listening on the radio on the way down there, and there was a radio program where they were listening to or telling stories of Christmas celebrations in different places in the world. And it was entertaining to hear them talk about how the gift-giving traditions and the different foods that are normal in that part of the world, different versions of Santa Claus. There's one place in Eastern Europe where Santa Claus shows up with a whip for bad boys and girls. You got to kind of lie. I think we ought to seriously reconsider this, right? In Norway, it was interesting because they have an event on December 13th called Santa Lucia, and it's a straight-up pagan holiday where all the girls wear white dresses and carry candles. Has nothing to do with Jesus or the story of Christ's coming at all. And the interviewer, with each person from these different countries he would talk to, he always ended with a question related to faith. And he said something to the effect of, well, is in Norway, is Christmas like it is in the United States, where there are many people that, you know, they may not go to church much during the year, but on that holiday, they're there. And this man from Norway said, no, nobody here really believes that stuff anymore. There's not much uptick in church attendance. The people that go, and those that of us that don't, Christmas is not a reminder to go. You know, have you ever stopped to think that if Jesus didn't really come, Christmas is really just one more moral paradigm designed to crush you under the weight of expectations. It's one more holiday that says you got to be kind and generous and nice and act like you love people you can't stand, right? It's just one more reminder of what we're not. If you take Jesus out of the equation, we have this wonderful holiday once a year where we got to fake it for a week or two or three. But Jesus did come. And when we see the manger, it should be a reminder that God desires to speak. Not only does he desire to speak, he took the initiative. God is not waiting for you or I to notice that he's there and come seeking him. He's already sought you and I out through the prophets and then more explicitly through Jesus. And listen, here's the neat thing about this. God meets us where we are. In this passage, it says that God speaks to us at many times and in many ways. That means God speaks to us in different times, different ways, different places, because we're all different. Sometimes it takes tragedy for us to have ears to hear what God's trying to say to us. Sometimes it's just a quiet moment. But the truth is, God speaks to us. He's taken the initiative. It's important to him. And it's interesting, this communication is now changed. It had been through human representatives, through the prophets. And now he says, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son. What does that mean? It means God's communication with us now is greater than it ever was by his son. Listen to what Philippians 2 says. He said, Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So the manger is like God is writing an autobiography. He's providing an understanding of himself that is more personal and specific than anything that had been offered previously. When we see the manger, we ought to remember God wants to speak to you, and inherent in that is an invitation that we listen and respond. God is saying, listen, look at the lengths to which I have gone to reveal myself to you because I want a relationship with you. Now, not only does God speak, we see the manger scene. It shouldn't be a little ceramic baby Jesus that is, you know, a reminder of simpler things, but on a profound level, it's a reminder that God speaks. And not only does God speak, he says to you, I love you. Now, I want you to consider, it's one thing to say that we love people, but really, love looks like something, doesn't it? Yesterday, I did the funeral here for Stanley Fuller. Stanley and Diane are members of our church, and what a wonderful man. You know, to gather together with his family and some friends mostly from our church to say goodbye and to celebrate his life. I noticed something in meeting with the family before, and then it really occurred to me sitting on the platform watching his three grown children here on the front row, a son and three daughters. I said three, four grown children. That as they had told different stories, one thing was crystal clear to all of them, that their dad loved them. And they told stories about as children, how he would play kick the can with the kids, and how dad was always the one wanting to get everybody into the pool, and on and on. And this family had grown up on a dairy farm in upstate New York. And the story that really stood out to me was the story of how one snowy day, a lot of friends had come over, and they were sledding, and they had made some sort of a sleigh, but there was not enough to go around. And so Stanley had the idea to take the hood off his truck, flip it upside down, tie a couple of ropes to it, the back of a snowmobile, and haul everybody around. Now listen, that's a cute story, but what it is a powerful statement to his adult children of dad's love for us. When we look at the manger, it is a statement of the greatness of the love God has for us. It's not just that Jesus was born, it is who was born. And as we look at this passage, listen to the description. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. He sat at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Listen, some other religions would say, oh, Jesus was a good man. He was a prophet. My friends, that is so far off the mark. We read this passage and we look and understand who it was that was born in the manger. This passage says he was the heir. Now it's interesting because we would think, you know, the next descriptive is that he was the creator. Usually we would start with the first thing that happened, but here this writer says he was the heir. Why the heir? Well, listen, by Jesus being the heir, the writer is looking to the end of the story. He's saying, listen, when it's all said and done, Jesus will be in control of all. As Philippians said, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Why is that important? That means as heir, he has the authority to deliver on everything he's promised. When Matthew 5, when Jesus said, blessed are the meek, they will inherit the earth. Guess what? As the heir, he has the ability, the authority, he will have full possession to be able to determine what happens at the end. In Romans 8, when he says, nothing in all creation can separate you from the love I have for you, guess what? He can back that up. In Romans 21, or Revelation 21, when he says, there's a day coming when there will be no more crying, no more mourning, no more sickness, he's able to deliver because he's the heir. Not only is the heir, he's the creator. If you have the idea that somehow Jesus came into existence that day in that manger or in that stable in Bethlehem, understand Colossians 1 says he was there at creation. God himself. Not only was he the heir, he is in the final analysis, he's everything. He was there at the beginning. It says he was the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature. Jesus is God himself. How Jesus was born and fully man and fully God, it's hard to really wrap our minds around, isn't it? But yet that's what the scripture teaches us, the exact imprint of his nature. Not only that, it says he upholds the universe. That means that God was not some big master clockmaker. Jesus didn't get everything started and walk away and go on vacation. That means that Jesus currently holds all things together. If he were to take his hands off, this whole place would fly apart. So Jesus continually is the sustainer of all that has been made. That baby that was born was the heir. He was the creator. He is divine. He was the sustainer. He was simultaneously the priest and the sacrifice, making atonement for our sin, making purification for us. And then it says here at the end, he's also the king. He sits down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Listen, that baby that was born, it's not just what he said. The message that is profound is who he was. Now imagine for a moment, If you're trying to send a message to someone you love and give a gift that would communicate how serious you are about loving them, it would be hard to outdo what God did for us. When you look at who it was that God gave, it's a mind blower. Listen to John, familiar verses 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So when we see a manger, it's a reminder. God is, he wants to speak to you. He wants a relationship with you. Not only is that a reminder, it's a message of his great love for you. Listen, the devil is described as the accuser of the brethren. That means he is going to make sure you remember every selfish, filthy, awful thing you participated in, whispering continually. And to that message, we must remember and answer that Jesus came that I could be washed clean. God's love for you was with his full knowledge of everything that you and I might do, and yet he still sent his only son on our behalf. Listen, we need to remember. As we see a manger, it needs to be a reminder of God's desire for a relationship with you, with the message that he's sending of his profound love for you, and not only that he loves you, but he's not willing to let you and I stay in the condition we're in, that God desires to heal and forgive us. So we look at verse 3. He talks about how Jesus made purification for our sins. In the 21st century, we're real quick to talk about the love of God. But in the 18th century, they were real quick to talk about the anger of God. And the reality is, both of those are true. Psalms 2 tells us that God is angry at our sin every day. Romans 2 tells us that God is piling up, storing up his wrath towards our sin. Jesus taught that we're going to be held accountable for every thought, every word, and every deed. That is terrifying. If it weren't for the cross. Listen, the scripture tells us that we all share a weakness of sin. Romans 5 talks about that weakness, that despite that God demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So knowing full well of your weakness and mine, God provided a means for us to be forgiven and healed. As we look at the manger, we've got to remember that baby was born for a purpose. Now, we understand that none of us is born a Christian. No one gets into heaven by their good behavior. We may look around and say, listen, she's just a saint. Well, by comparison to other people, maybe, but by comparison to the standard that matters, Jesus himself, we all fall short. Right? Romans 3:23, for all have sinned to fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 tells us the problem with that. It says the wages of sin is death. In other words, what we get because of our sinfulness is spiritual death. It's hell. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. As we look at the cross, we must remember that it is a baby born to die because of your sin and mine. And without the death and resurrection of Jesus, we are condemned. Remember earlier this year, we're aware of the recent shooting in Paris, but you remember earlier in the year when Muslim extremists went in and killed a number of people in the offices of Charlie Hebdo? It's a French satirical magazine, because they had run some disparaging cartoons and things about the Prophet Muhammad. Well, the thing we need to understand about that magazine is it's bitterly sarcastic, and really their favorite target is the Catholic Church and Christians in general. Has it ever occurred to you, why is it that for the followers of Islam, the right reaction would be violence, but yet that magazine has targeted believers for a long time? Well, listen, I don't think it's because we're just soft. I think it's because we worship a Savior who would be justified in judging any one of us where we sit this morning. Yet, his love is greater than our sin, And not only does he love us, he stepped up and paid the price so that we could be forgiven. How can we as followers of Jesus react to disrespect with violence because of who we serve? Now, as we look at this morning, through the manger, the Lord says to us, I love you too much to leave you as you are. And it really challenges us to recognize that as believers, as under followers of Jesus, it's more than just being good people. He calls upon us to respond, and he describes here a purification of sins. That requires us to understand that when God forgives you, he does not forgive the way that we forgive. If I were to offend you and I were to come to you and say, please forgive me, what I'm really asking you to do is set aside your appropriate judgment of me for what I've done, to give me a pass. You would be right in staying mad at me, but I'm saying, please forgive me. I was a jerk. I shouldn't have said or done that. And you have to decide, am I going to forgive you? But forgiving me means I'm going to choose not to hold it against you anymore, right? And that's about the best we have to give each other. But listen, when we read about the Lord forgiving us, we must understand God does not forgive by just glossing over, just dismissing and saying, well, that'll go away. God's forgiveness is because the price of our sin has been paid. That's a little bit different, right? Hebrews 9 tells us without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. So when it says here that Jesus provided the purification for our sins, we need to understand that was by laying down his own life on our behalf. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, for our sake, he being God, made him, speaking of Jesus, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What is he saying? He's saying God sent his son Jesus out of heaven to be born as an infant, to grow to maturity. Hebrews 4 says he was tempted in every way just like we are, yet he never sinned. And then he paid the price of our guilt and sin. So Jesus was no punk or patsy. He was not a victim. The scripture says he willingly laid down his life on the cross, taking on himself the punishment that we deserve, so that there would be the possibility for you and I to be forgiven. So when we look at the manger, we need to remember God desires to have a relationship with you. He loves you, and he loves you too much to leave you just the way you are. He has provided a way that you can not only be forgiven because the guilt debt has been paid, but what's the rest of that verse go? 2 Corinthians 5:21, that we might become the righteousness of God. What is he saying? That means that I can stand yesterday at a funeral and boldly declare that my friend Stanley is in heaven. He's in the presence of the Lord. Stanley was a great guy, but that's not why. I can say with confidence that Stanley is in the presence of the Lord because he put his faith in Jesus. That Jesus' death on the cross was enough to wash him clean, and not just for final judgment, but while Stanley was alive, while we're alive, we come into the Lord's presence not simply as sinners forgiven, but as righteous children, co-heirs, one place in the scripture says, with the King. We come with a boldness and a confidence, not based on our own goodness, but on the greatness of the love God has shown towards us. So my friends, when you see the manger this holiday, remember, God wants a relationship with you. He loves you, and he loves you and I too much to leave us the way that we are or the way that we were. You remember, I want to close with this. You remember 2 years ago when they were having memorial services for Nelson Mandela in South Africa, and our president was there and other world leaders. And when it was all over, they discovered that there was a man who had, he was the sign language interpreter. And the problem was he didn't know sign language. And so here he is, and it was an hour and a half long ceremony. He is feet away from world leaders pretending to translate. And I mean, he's just making it all up. If you really want to giggle this afternoon, go YouTube that. I mean, he's like steel second. And I mean, he's doing the whole thing, and he doesn't know sign language. How he ever got in that position, I still don't understand. It's a comedy show. But my friends, listen. Will this year, all of these Christmas celebrations, will they be vain gestures like that guy? Or will they be a personal message that you receive where the Lord says, I love you. I want a relationship with you, and I am unwilling to leave you stuck in your sin. This Christmas, we're going to give and receive gifts. Somebody gives you a gift, the appropriate response would be to receive it, open it, make it your own. If you get a gift and you leave it sitting under the tree or on the counter, it's not really yours. This morning, I want to invite you to receive the gift. We're going to pray together in just a moment. You may be thinking to yourself, hold on there, Chief, that's a little fast for me. I need more information. I need more time. Well, let me encourage you. Jesus said we come to him with the faith of a child. That's what he responds to. That's what honors the Lord. So I want to encourage you this morning. You've heard all that you would need to turn away from the you have been, to repent and to believe, to put your faith in Christ. I'm going to ask you to all bow your heads and close your eyes. If you've already done that, perhaps it would be good for you to pray for those that are seated around you or maybe other friends or family in your life that have not yet received the gift of God through Jesus. The passage we read talked about how God spoke to us through the prophets, and then it moved over and it said, in these last days. And you know, specifically these last days, he's describing a time, like in a war. After the war is really over, there's been a decisive battle, the bomb has been dropped, the enemy's headquarters have been overrun. There's still skirmishes, there's still the working out of the thing, but essentially the war is over. That's what the scripture is describing in these last days. The battle's won. Jesus has laid down his life on the cross, raised from the dead, and we're just waiting for him to come back. The war is over. There's not going to be new revelation. God's given us all that we need to know the heart of God towards you, that he loves you. He stands ready to forgive you, to apply the blood of Christ to your sin, your life, and wash you clean and make you his child. That's it. And we have to decide what we're going to do with that in these last days. I want to encourage you, if you know today that you have not yet made your own decision to receive the gift of Jesus Christ, I'm going to pray. I want to invite you to pray it. You can pray out loud. You can pray in your heart. But like a child, to simply say to the Lord, yes, thank you. If that's what you'd like to do this morning, I want to invite you to pray along with me now. Dear God, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I am humiliated to know that you know everything I've thought or said or done. And God, with your help, I turn away from being that person. I repent. And I put my faith in you, Jesus. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. Please come into my heart. Wash me clean. Make me the person you want me to be. Amen. As you continue to have your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed with me for the first time, I'm so excited for you. In the last week, we've had 5 or 6 people who've come to faith in Christ around here. And it's just so exciting to see people at the beginning of their journey, their walk with the Lord. If today was your first time, when this service is over, I'm going to stick around at the front. Please come and talk to me. Say, Pastor Paul, I just want to let you know, today's a new day for me. I don't know what that means. I want to encourage you and help you get started. My friends, that new day may have started for you quite some time ago. I want to encourage you next Sunday, Christmas Eve. These are great opportunities for you to look around at the people in your life that need Jesus Christ and invite them to come with you. Hey, listen, just invite them to come along, to sit and worship and hear. And then they'll have to make their own decision what they're going to do with Jesus. But take advantage of this great gift you've received and share it with others. me pray for us. Father, I ask you as a church that you would use us in these next weeks. Look around and help us to see the people around us that are living in spiritual darkness, that don't have the light of Christ in their life, that are still guilty before you. God, I pray you would give us boldness to speak up, to just invite people to come. And then, God, when we gather together, may your Holy Spirit work and draw people to you. We pray these things, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, parents and grandparents, I want to encourage you. This holiday, maybe you need to gather the kids or the grandkids around that manger scene. And like Robin Williams, invite them to lean in and ask them what they hear. Tell them God loves you. And he's not willing to let you stay where you are. Tonight, we're going to have a good time. Our weird elf, you were here earlier, we had a weird elf. Remind us about our reunion service at 6 o'clock. You feel free to tell Trey I said that. We'll be here at 6 o'clock tonight. It'll be a good time. I hope that you'll make it a priority to be here. It's just a great chance. Whether you have been at this church from the beginning or you're new, we would love a chance to just get to know you better and enjoy some time. 6 o'clock tonight, let's all be here. Let's stand together as we close our time this morning in worship.